J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, a Friday edition with Rhett Bryan here, filling in for Jason Martin, who's on assignment. Ramon Foster, still riding hard this week, into the weekend.
The Music City Musical.
Wow, here we go. Music City Musical. Jonathan Schaefer back there choosing violence this morning.
He didn't turn your mic on a second ago.
I think he did it on purpose, but it's okay. I can live with it. Okay. He's on Twitter, at Schaefer on Sports, at Ramon Foster, at J Mart and Ramon, and I'm at Rhett B, Tennessee. Titans host the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. In fact, coverage begins here on your home for the Titans and the Vols, 104.5 The Zone, at 9 a.m. with Buck Rising. And that's brought to you by the Lee Company. And then at 10 o'clock, the Lee Company countdown to kickoff continues with Mickey Ryan, Kevin Dyson, Blaine Bishop, and then our little show, the award-winning Titans Countdown, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans at 11. Kickoff is at noon with little Voice show of the Titans, Mike Keith and Dave McGinnis from Nissan Stadium inside Booth 7. So here we go.
Can I say something about that weekend in Titans radio too? Starting off with Buck, real solid, man. Me being the dad who's in baseball tournaments on the weekend now, Red, I'm usually out of town. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff when you're trying to stream in is regional because why? Do your location. You got to show where your location is. So opening up the app or going to YouTube and listening to you guys early morning is informative, is good, and it's just overall, you know the difference between people who are just telling you something and people that actually inform you on some real stuff.
Sure.
So, I enjoy it. Like, I ain't gonna say I dislike being out of town because I like being at home sometimes, but it's cool hearing you guys go through it, man, especially when Blaine and those guys get on too. Solid, solid, man.
Well, here's what you've got, and I appreciate you saying that. Buck is really starting to study, he's got the podcast with Greg Cosell.
Yeah.
And so you got, him working with a film rat in Greg Cosell up at NFL Films, and, he's covered the team for 5 years now, and Mickey Ryan has been around for a long time in covering this stuff, and he's partnered up and saddled up with two former Titans players who've been there and done that.
Yeah.
And then you get to us, and we've got a head coach on our broadcast.
Facts.
The guy was a head coach in the National Football League and a longtime assistant, and we bent his ear early on and said, teach me. I've covered this team for a long time, but I feel like I don't know what I'm doing and what I'm looking at. Teach me. And he has. And listen, you want to know what's going to happen in any game, any week? Listen to segment one of Titans Countdown with me, Amy Wells, and Coach Dave McGinnis, because he will tell you exactly what the points of emphasis and keys are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, the whole deal.
Yeah.
It's a key and diagnose segment, and it will give you a cliff notes on if this happens, this is the end result.
Yeah.
If they do their job, this is what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, most of the time, Coach Mack's right.
Yeah. And I say that to say, if you're in a pickle out of town somewhere, hit the app, turn it on. You're going to be good to go.
The 104.5 The Zone app. You can get that anywhere. On Google Play, in the iTunes store or App Store Apple, all that stuff.
All
available.
All the what's a doozits.
Let's go to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, 615-737-1045. John in the Borough, you've been holding for a few minutes since we went to break there. How are you this morning? Welcome to J. Martin and Ramon.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
So my petty level is all the way up. I got to disagree with the caller before the break.
Gorilla, yeah.
Yeah. Houston has no claim to anything anymore regarding the Titans, the Oilers, anything. It has been 8,791 days since Houston and their fan base turned their back on that franchise, causing that franchise to leave. It's the equivalent of breaking up with your girlfriend, then seeing her with another guy, and then begging her to come back.
Mm.
They have no claim to anything anymore. I think we should wear throwback Oiler uniforms every time we play them, both home and away. Just to stick that knife just a little bit deeper. And before I go, guys, just remember, never take it seriously. If you never take it serious, you never get hurt. If you never get hurt, you always have fun. And if you ever get bored, you can turn on the radio and listen to your friends.
Hey.
There it is. Mic drop. J. John of the Borough, thanks for that. Boy, he was bringing the heat this morning.
Yes, he was.
Now, here's the thing. I'm with him on some of this. They're not. 2022 is the first year that a second helmet is approved for all teams.
Okay.
And that was the big deal with being able to wear this throwback.
Throwback, yep.
Yeah, it would look silly if you wore a current Titans
with the
blue, navy blue helmet with the powder blue. Yeah, mm-hmm. It just wouldn't look right. So you
and
need
a few
the whole
years ago,
thing.
They had double helmets.
Well, it was a 60th anniversary of the AFL in 2009, and that's why they were allowed to wear those in the Hall of Fame game and a couple other occasions. The AFL teams got to wear throwbacks as a one-off, if you will.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. 2022, don't expect it to happen because these uniform things do not happen overnight. I know you're saying, well, it's a throwback. Just manufacture them and put them on. There's a lot of red tape involved with this stuff. If you remember, for this current uniform look that the Titans have, it was about a 4.5-year process.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's going to take that long for Oilers throwbacks, but I don't know that I would expect to see it in 2022. But listen, John of the Borough is right. The minute that it's approved, ready to roll, and they're going to roll out of the tunnel, I want to see them on, like, Thursday Night Football at NRG Stadium in Houston wearing those things. There's a part of me that wants that so bad. I can't help it.
I hear your violence coming out a little bit right there.
I can't help it, man.
Red. That's freaking phenomenal, man.
And part of where I get that, and I'll tell this quick story. So 7-8 months after the Music City Miracle, and it's the
Music City Musical. I knew it was coming. I knew it.
The Titans go to Orchard Park, New York, and play the Bills in week one. And so, you know, it's very contentious. I mean, the fan base is still saying that was a forward pass and this and that. And
yeah.
Anyway. So what does Jeff Fisher was so good at trolling people. Yeah. So what does he do for team introductions? He has the special teams unit come out for team introductions as a sub troll.
That's beautiful.
I mean, that is cerebral trolling right there. Now the Titans lost that game. I think Aldo Greco missed a kick. It was bad leaving that thing on the team bus. I mean, they were rocking the bus, throwing eggs and batteries. I can't imagine what would have happened had the Titans won that game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So you said they bringing eggs and batteries in. Like, batteries I can get. Maybe back then they were having Walkmen listening to
Is in the parking lot as the buses are leaving. I know. They're by their cars.
But imagine leaving your house with a carton of eggs.
Listen, it's Buffalo. Those people are crazy. I mean, think about it. They put people through tables, man. Hey, listen, one of the first times I went up there, it's cold weather, and a guy, and you'll know this, you're a West Tennessee guy, this guy had a corn scoop, like you'd scoop corn out of the barn, up on the manifolds and block of his car with the hood up, and making, like, scrambled eggs in a dang corn scoop. In the parking lot, that was his tailgate pregame meal. I'm serious.
I believe you because it's Buffalo. But you got to be kidding me. You imagine that doggone carburetor just heating up the way.
Edelbrock, a Holly four barrel made my Huevos Rancheros this morning.
God, that's some crazy tailgating stuff right there. I've yet to do it, Rhett. And I've been invited to a few here, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it, okay? But that's got to be one of the craziest tailgating stories I've ever heard right there. A guy making bacon and eggs on top of his deuce and a quarter.
You know what his eggs sounded like?
What?
And that's why Jonathan Schaefer's the master of the wheels of steel.
Yes, he is.
He's the man behind the curtain. Hey, we got to take a break here. We're going to go talk Titans and Colts, I promise, when we come back on the other side. We love talking to you, though, and we'll continue to do that at 615-737-1045. As you listen to J. Martin and Ramon on your home for the Titans, 1045 The Zone. Friday Vibes on J. Martin and Ramon. on 104.5 The Zone. Rhett Bryan filling in for Jason Martin. Ramon Foster right here. Schaefer on sports on Twitter. Jonathan Schaefer back there. At Ramon Foster, at J Martin, and Ramon at Rhett B Tennessee. Rolling through a Friday morning. Flashlight. Parliament. George Clinton.
How big was that group? I'm like, literally, how big was that group? How many members?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of. I mean, there's a lot of groups like that back then. I mean, Tower of Power. Yeah. I've seen Tower of Power, and they horn section 20 people deep or whatever. So, yeah, absolutely.
They literally put on the show when they showed.
They absolutely did. Hey, let's go to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline here, 615-737-1045. Corey in Nashville. Go ahead. You're on with J. Mart and old Rhett B. here.
Hey, how's it going, y'all? How's your morning?
Good, good. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Just making the drive to work. Wanted to weigh in on the Houston Titans history thing, just from an angle that I haven't heard. I don't know if it's been said, but they were the Tennessee Oilers for 2 years when they first came here. And that's when I became a fan. I was seven in 1997, and that was my first NFL game. My mom, who was a single mom raising four kids, somehow came up with the money to take me out to the Titans versus the Jaguars for my birthday.
Yeah.
So for me, it's personal. That Oilers history is the history of me becoming a fan of the game and a fan of the team. So, nah, Houston can't have that. Nope. That's my history with the team. That's my history as a fan. And I agree, we should wear those throwbacks every time we play Houston. Every single time. And then real quick, Titans and the Colts. I just hope we get to see one hell of a Derrick Henry stiff arm after all the talk that's been going on. I mean, like one that makes the one on Josh Norman look like it was nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Corey. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate that. And let's go to Twitter here real quick. Chris Bird at Roosterboy 1976 here. He's asking me, can you explain to some of these folks the history of the Oilers moving? They need to know why the Oilers left, not getting a stadium, then a building, then building a stadium for the Texans. All they would do is add 7,500 seats to a 30-year-old Astrodome, and that's true. The relationship between the mayor of Houston at that time, who I don't remember his name. I'm not a native there. But
Jabroni. Let's just call him Jabroni.
Okay, Jabroni. Mayor Jabroni and Mr. Bud Adams got sideways because of this, because the Astrodome was starting to get in disrepair. You know, that thing was built, you know, way back. It was 30 years old, I guess.
It was split, wasn't
but,
it?
But anyway, split what?
As far as like one side being the next. Was it their arena? No. I'm thinking about San Antonio. I'm different there. Yeah,
that's
okay.
That is a demerit.
That is a demerit. I just knew it was a carpet floor is what they played on back then. Right. Go ahead, Rhett.
And that thing got in such disrepair. There was a Vikings game, I think, that was delayed there with the Oilers back in the day because it was in such bad shape. But they wouldn't build a stadium, and Mr. Adams basically said, "Well, I'll take my ball and I'll go elsewhere, and I'll move." And they're like, "Sure, you will. Whatever." And, you know, Mike Keith told the story on Titans Tonight on Wednesday night this week with Keith Bullock and Amy Wells. Mr. Adams sat on the board of a plastics company in Franklin, Tennessee that made toys. So he knew the area. Yeah. He had traveled here quite a bit. And when that got sideways enough, he called then Mayor Phil Bredesen on the horn, who became governor later on, and said, "Hey, I want to move my team here, and I'm Bud Adams, owner of the Houston Oilers." Well, Mayor Bredesen hung up the phone. He thought it was a crank call. He thought it was being played, catfished, whatever you want.
At the times, there was no real caller ID.
Right.
Phone numbers were in the phone book still.
It's like, he's like, "Sure, pal, whatever." And so they, you know, Mr. Adams called back, and they started having secret luncheons and meetings. And at this window of time, Nashville and Mayor Bredesen had tried to lure the New Jersey Devils here in the NHL, and that went sideways. And I think they felt like they kind of got played with that. Next thing you know, it's announced that the Houston Oilers are moving here. and that they're going to build a stadium. And they had a referendum and, you know, vote NFL yes and this whole deal. But it was amazing to see all that. But one of the caveats is that he got to keep the history, the record books, the name, the image, the likeness, and all of that stuff and move up
so
here.
I'm looking up. I got the mayor names. Bob Lanier was his name, the mayor of
Bob
Houston
Lanier
at the time.
That's right.
But it's also, speaking about those meetings with Phil Bredesen, like you said, it was announced that they were going to move in Nashville, like committed so much money to the stadium. I think it said $104 million towards a new stadium.
Yep.
Also $70 million in ticket sales. So that's what they were looking for, is support. And they got it immediately from the state of Tennessee.
Right.
The other side of this, though, too, is where we talk about, like, well, Houston just got to deal with this being a Titans organization and facts and history that followed them to Nashville. That's because soon after the announcement, it said also the support of the Oilers in Houston area dried up almost overnight. As a result, the 1996 was unmitigated disaster. Only three games attracted more than 30,000 people.
Mostly, it was only like 15,000 people is about what they averaged in the place that set 80K.
So it was ghost town inside of that stadium.
Yes.
So that's why it's almost like, hey, Houston, take that with you. We're good here now.
Right.
Okay.
And that building still stands right next to NRG Stadium where the Texans play.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of discussion over the last several years with the City Council of Houston as to what to do with that building.
Wow.
And there's been multiple plans put forth that, you know, maybe you gut it and you make it the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. But they said the demo on the building would cost a fortune because it's so big.
Yeah.
So that thing's just sitting there in disrepair. Right beside an NRG Stadium, it makes that thing look like,
yeah,
it dwarfs
a baby.
Yeah. Amazing. But
that's interesting.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back to the phones here. Cousin Paxton, you're on with Ramon and Rhett B.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Good morning. So definitely want to get in on this Titans Oilers history, man. I'm a huge advocate for Oilers history is Titans history. One caller has already said very, you know, eloquently that basically the Tennessee Titans were the Tennessee Oilers at some point. As a matter of fact, I have an inaugural season jersey with Oilers on it and, you know, Tennessee Oilers. I have that.
Wow.
But to dig deeper into this, Ramon, you have children, correct?
Yeah, I got two boys.
Okay. So those two boys would be considered an extension of you.
Yes, indeed.
Is that right?
Yep.
All right.
They moved
to another city. Are they still your son?
You doggone right they are.
All right, then. There you go. We are an extension. We are the sons, or you want to call it. We are that of the Oilers, man. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the Oilers, there would be no Tennessee Titans. Can we just say that? We would not be at Nissan Stadium on Sunday if it weren't for the Oilers. And the Adams family, guys. Mm-hmm. That's the legacy right there. So I can't wait to – I'm wearing my Earl Campbell jersey on Sunday. I'm going to be in attendance. I'm going to be screaming and hollering for these Oilers players that necessarily didn't play in Tennessee, but they play for the family. These are like father figures to these players who are on the field getting ready to kick off on Sunday, guys. And that is all I got, man. I'm out of here.
All right, Paxton.
Stay
safe in those streets as you protect and serve – as a finest for Metro Nashville Police Department.
Yes, indeed.
And he is bringing the heat. He's right. Hey, and you know, that's a way to put it. I mean, you know, there would be no Titans without the Oilers.
100%.
They'd have to leave to move here to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like there wouldn't be any Baltimore Ravens if there wasn't the Cleveland Browns moving after the 94 season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing, you know.
Only one that's confusing me as far as the franchise moving was when Charlotte went to New Orleans, and then they went back to Charlotte again.
That was like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah.
To the Hornets to the, yeah.
Yeah, it was that one. Yeah. So that's
Jordan still owns that team too, right?
He's got, yeah. Are they the Bobcats or the
They're back to the Hornets.
They're back to the Hornets. Okay, all right.
Yeah, he owns, he's majority owner.
He's majority owner of that, yes.
All right, so Titans and Colts this Sunday. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. with Buck Rising. It goes all the way through. It's game day all day. That's what we say on Titans Radio. And, you know, for anybody who thinks that this is going to be some kind of cakewalk because they beat Seattle in overtime up there, and listen, that's a good Seattle team, really good. Buyer beware.
Yeah.
And I know what people are like, Rhett, come on, man, stop. But here's the thing. I don't anticipate that Carson Wentz plays. He's on two sprained ankles.
Yeah.
But which quarterback are you going to get? And they're going to keep that a secret probably till as long as they can over the weekend. Right, and we may hear it 5 minutes after I get off this microphone, or we may hear it Sunday morning when the inactives are announced.
Right.
Because they have Jacob Eason, who is former Georgia and University of Washington quarterback, who's in year two. He took most of the reps leading up to this thing because Carson Wentz had the surgery and was supposed to be out, you know, anywhere from five to 12. Right. He had, I think he practiced 17 of the 19 training camp practices and was, you know, QB1 in all three of the preseason games. So he's got reps there. But they had Brett Hundley, the former UCLA star, who has 9 career starts under his belt. They had him on the practice squad. They elevated him this week. And so it was reported the other day that Brett Hundley is starting to get the reps in this thing. Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they went that direction because he has more experience than Jacob Eason in this. Mm-hmm. But it's dangerous for a couple of reasons. First of all, they have a loaded backfield. They have Marlon Mack. They have Nyheim Hines. They have the second-year man, Jonathan Taylor. And they haven't fully got that run game cranked up yet. But where they've been really good so far, and Nyheim Hines leads the pack in this, they are excellent catching the ball out of the backfield. And I am talking about swing routes and things like that. I'm talking about they are like a receiver with a route tree kind of thing.
Yes, they are.
You know, that's something that the Titans defense is going to have to stifle. We will not see T.Y. Hilton in this, but we know Michael Pittman Jr. You and I talked about it Wednesday on your show here. Mm-hmm. He had a career game, 8 for 123, and is starting to emerge. Former Titan Zach Pascal, he can be dangerous in spots. Jack Doyle has been a problem for the Titans. Mo Alie-Cox, the other tight end. So, you know, the storylines are setting up in this thing to be a dogfight because the Colts defense, it's DeForest Buckner, it's Darius Leonard. I think where they're a little suspect is in their secondary.
Yeah.
And Xavier Rhodes is the leader of that as a veteran who did not practice Wednesday, was limited yesterday. We'll see what the injury report looks like today. But I think that's where if AJ has a bounce back game, which I do believe that he will. He had his worst game as a Titan last Sunday. Yeah. 3 drops, and there ain't nobody madder than he is at himself.
And he showed it.
If you have a repeat performance of Julio from week 2, and you've got the AJ that we know, I feel like that's a place where they can really take advantage of some stuff. And I really like Michael Pruitt stepping up in the tight end spot.
That was the biggest surprise last weekend, I thought. And the thing about him stepping up, it wasn't the fact that, you know, he's not an NFL player. Let's not forget, he's still a 1%er as far as athletes, as far as being in the NFL. It's just now, with Jonnu gone, he got an opportunity. With Firkser being out, he showed that he could be a player. It would be shocking if his role didn't grow this week, Rhett. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure what the opportunities are going to look like.
Anthony Firkser has not practiced this week yet, so he may be getting more opportunities for sure.
Yeah, that's the situation right there. I'm keeping my eye on because next thing you know, this guy can become the guy. And I'm not saying that Firkser is going to be put on the back burner, but it's always great to have a 1-2 punch at tight end. Also, it is. And you know, going back to the if I could, Rhett, for a second, going back to the Colts, and you know, you speak about this Jacob Eason and this Brett Hundley thing. I think it's this, and you talk about the run game. They got 3 running backs that are very versatile.
Yes.
Very much versatile as far as almost anybody in the NFL. Not saying they're the best, but they're young. They got multiple roles, and they display that amongst all of them. Every single one of them had targets this weekend. Whether they caught them or not, they had targets out the backfield or somewhere in the set. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so interesting about this team. And I honestly think that may be what's causing them to lose more than anything is the fact that they have been trying to air it out more than they probably should, considering the talent they have on that offensive line. And I say that to say this. Brett Hundley, we've been hearing, has been getting the number one reps. Now, unless they're lying to us, Red, and pulling the old New England Patriots on us, as our friend Peyton Manning let us know last week on the Manning cast, that – they got to be telling the truth. Brett Hundley, looking back at his college career, he's a passer, true enough. 3,000 yards and 3,700 in his first year starting and had 355 yards rushing. The next year, 3,071 yards, 748 yards rushing with 11 rushing touchdowns also, Rhett. His last year, 3,100 yards, but 644 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. Rhett, if they're trying to get this run game started,
you put Brett Hundley back there.
And because
behind
what?
Center.
If we, this is the thing, I had super high anxiety whenever our starting quarterback was out. And you know why? Because if he was out, that means we became one-dimensional. Okay? That means that, look, the blunt of the games in which our starting quarterback was out falls on the offensive line. That means coaches looking directly at us in the follicles, the soles of our eyes, and saying, big boys up front, this game is on y'all. And he meant that because we can't throw the way we want to when the starting quarterback is out because it's a trust thing, Rhett. You get it. These guys are young quarterbacks. You don't know what they're going to see. You know this defense is multifaceted. They can confuse a young guy when they don't really trust him, especially only after a week of just practicing like that. So what is the best bet to control a game and try to get your first win? That's to run the ball. That's to control the tempo. That's to keep your guys out there and shorten the game as quick as you can. And that's what I expect. That's why I'm looking at this Huntley deal as he's going to have some design runs.
Yep.
He's going to drop back to throw. And if they don't stay their rushing lanes, he's going to strike out. 11 rushing touchdowns, Rhett, for a quarterback in college, you got to look at it and say he still somewhat has that threat.
Right. And, no, I think you set up your case that Brett Hundley may be the quarterback on Sunday. Because the Colts as a team have only rushed for 222 yards through two games. 60 of that has been Carson Wentz.
Exactly.
And you've got the stable of running backs they've got. So, yeah, I'm drawing line A to B right now, and you make a very compelling case. Hey, on the other side, we'll continue to dive into the X's and O's. And then next hour, we'll have the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, here for the whole hour. 9 o'clock hour, Will Bowling comes in. And you guys have a guest at 9:20, the voice of the Vols, Bob Kessling, as the Vols get ready for the Gators tomorrow night. So lots to talk about, lots to visit with. We continue all of that conversation next. J. Martin Ramon continues on 104.5 The Zone. Hey, Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Professional garage door installation and repair from a locally owned and family-run business. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com. Let that marinate a second.
This ain't the weekend right here. Only love I've known, baby.
Was a songwriter, behind-the-scenes guy. And then he redid, he put his flavor. That's Chris Stapleton. He put his flavor. Now, that's an old George Jones song,
okay.
The Possum.
Okay.
And he had that song released about 1980 or 81. Sounds completely different, the way it's arranged, style, the whole deal. And then he put some white boy soul on that thing. and the next thing you know, he is on a mercurial rise after that.
White boy soul. You know what it is when you say that, too. When they get into it. It's beautiful. Like you said, we talked about Hall & Oates earlier.
Yep.
That white boy soul. Michael McDonald.
White boy soul. That's
Come
right.
On now. There's a few more.
There's a list of guys who can bring it now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a jam. That's a playlist right there.
Rhett Bryant here filling in for Jason Martin alongside Ramon Foster and Jonathan Schaefer behind the glass here on J. Martin and Ramon. Continuing our conversation, Titans and Colts this weekend. Titans at 1-1, trying to improve to 2-1. Colts 0-2 with a tough, tough schedule. Offensive line issues, quarterback issues. And listen, and the other reason why I say buyer beware, be careful. Don't write this one as a win because the Colts are sitting right in the seat that the Titans were a week ago.
Yes, sir.
Got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
And laying it all on the line.
You're going to exhaust everything that you got to get a dub.
Because this is a division game now. This is where some of the meat of the schedule starts coming to this. And, you know, you and Jason set it up all week. This is the first of, what, 6 straight AFC games?
6 straight, dog. And this is the thing, though, too. I ain't going to say it's fight or flight for the Colts. But going 0-3 puts them in a – I'm talking about a deep ditch. I'm talking about one that's in the back alley of somewhere in Mississippi somewhere. Like, there's ditches dug out somewhere.
Like in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Hey, come on now, right? You feel me? Like, that's what we are, dude. And that's what I'm looking – that's why I'm looking at this game between the Colts and the Titans. Like, yes, I think the Titans should win. I think they will win. But if you allow them to stay around, Rhett. If you allow them, listeners, to let them have a glimmer of hope this weekend, you're going to find yourself in a barn burner late in the fourth quarter, and that ain't what you want. Because this team, to go 0-3, they're going to be digging all year long to get back to 500, and their schedule is not easy in Indianapolis. So,
well, and here's the thing. You don't want to give these guys a chance to catch their breath and take it from you. Take that breath from you for this. Because we outlined it last segment. This run game, which really was something last year, especially like Jonathan Taylor had some 200-yard rushing games towards the end last year.
Yes, he did.
And then Marlon Mack, we know what he could do. We know what Nyheim Hines can do.
Yeah.
It hadn't got cranking yet. You know, they've had left tackle issues. And, you know, Quentin Nelson and those guys are good from that spot on down to the right-hand side of the line. Mm-hmm. But they can't do it all by themselves. And, you know, if you're missing your anchor. Well, Eric Fisher came in last week, started to play. He's just, you know, coming back from an Achilles. Yeah. He's 30 years old. So they have some woes, kind of like the Titans' offensive line. You know, the Colts' offensive line has given up 21 quarterback hits, 6 quarterback sacks through 2 games. And we know what the Titans have been through with Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold and things like that, and Ben Jones for that matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point about the Colts, they can't start 0-3 because week 4 at Miami, who got pantsed last week by Buffalo, at Baltimore, then home against the Houston Texans, then at San Francisco to play the 49ers, and then in week 8, they get a second dose of the Titans.
Yeah.
Week 9, the Jets. We don't know what the Jets will look like by then, but that's a place where you feel like they can get a win. Jacksonville the following week, same kind of thing. Then at Buffalo, then they host Tampa in week 12. Their first 12 games outside of the one with the Jets and the Jaguars, it's murderer's row, man.
It really is. And you got to think, the thing about the NFL, good or bad team, it doesn't matter, because what you're going to do is fight, Rhett. That's what you learn to do, man, is I'm going to fight till I can't no more. And again, this isn't a bad team. This is a team that's really just fallen on injured quarterback and played against two really good NFC West teams. And to say that this is a pushover game is not that. Are the Titans favored? Yes, they are. But they got to make sure that they're on top of everything moving forward. And just speaking of Nyheim Hines, too, I was scrambling to try to look up his stats the last time he played against the Titans. So he was 12 for 70 yards last time, 5.8 average, and he had a touchdown. He had 5 receptions for 45 yards, man, and he also had a touchdown last year too. I think the second Titans game is where he kind of had a little bit of his breakout, to where he kind of, when you mention him, he ain't did a whole lot this year. But you got to look at, they got to kind of see that as a favorable matchup for him again this year. He had over 100 yards last year against this Titans team.
And the run defense, I think, is going to be a strong point for this Titans defense. They allowed 77 yards rushing as a team on the road against Seattle last week. Now, they had the ball a whole lot of the second half, and I know there's other mitigating factors, but that's impressive, especially for a guy like Russell Wilson, who can extend bodies, plays with his body as well. And the other thing I want to hang my hat on and want to see another week of is third down percentage. That's been a 33% on third down is all they allowed last week.
It was.
And that's the lowest they've allowed since they played the Colts, I think, in week 10 of last season. And we know what they gave up overall last season, and it was bad.
Yeah.
That's what they went and retooled some things on defense and tried to go after in this. So,
and you,
all right.
One more thing about Nyheim Hines, because I ain't going to say he's an X factor, but he's definitely going to be a factor. The first time the Titans played him last year, and the Titans won, he had reception-wise 8 receptions for 66 yards.
Yep.
He clearly, they love him in whatever matchup.
Yeah, and Taylor can catch it out of the backfield, but he's really the guy.
Yep.
Nyheim Hines is dangerous in that part of it. All right. When we come back, hour 3 of J Mart and Ramon, and we will be joined the whole hour by the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, Rhett Bryan filling in for Jason Martin with Ramon Foster and Jonathan Schaefer here on 104.5 The Zone.